Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading from the Bible, and we're in chapter 22 of Joshua, and in this chapter are 34 verses, and this particular chapter has to do with the eastern tribes going back home, all right, and the Bible tells us that there's a straight and narrow path that we must stay on in order for us to be able to go home. And this earth is not our home. We're pilgrims passing through, and we're busy about our Father's business. Jesus said that he must be in a human body. We must be like Jesus, being busy about our Father's business. He stated that to his mother and his stepfather. He said, "Wist ye not that I be about my Father's business?" And we know that if we don't have joy, if there's nothing in the service but morbidness and a soft funeral music or something like that, this is not the Lord. People could take a lesson from some of these black churches not to go as wild as they do, because a lot of times you hear some of those their ministers huffing and puffing and snorting with their noses to where it's so distracting. And actually I see a lot of people might mock such a thing and make fun of it, but we need to have a lot of music in the church, lots of music, and everyone must sing, because the Spirit, the power of God, comes down in the services when there's singing and music. And I noticed that when Susie was alive, we kept music going throughout the whole service, and she would say, "Come on, everybody sing, everybody stand up and raise your hands up to the Lord and praise God." Amen. Well, if you don't raise your hands up and praise the Lord, well, then you're not following the Bible. And a lot of people will come to the service and they'll fall asleep, or they'll feel that they're in a very weird or creepy atmosphere where people are not giving their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength unto the Lord. And at this point, we don't have a really good musical director, but if everybody will start doing the things that the Lord says for us to do, which is to praise the Lord and to pray without ceasing and to pray not only for the world, for the people of the world to get saved, the people of the government to be saved, but to pray for one another and to pray for our loved ones and to pray for ourselves. Because when we pray and trust the Lord or meditate in his word, which I don't believe a lot of people know what the meaning of meditation is, but we're going to go over that this morning. We're in Los Angeles this morning, and we're going to talk about meditating and why it is that people must meditate. In the 23rd Psalm, the second verse, it states that he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Amen? Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want for anything, providing the Lord is our shepherd. Well, what does that mean? He's our shepherd. That means that we follow him. And the Bible, his word, instructs us to praise him and to lift our hands, holy hands up. Amen? Amen. And so many people are feeble today, and they find it very hard. They're impatient because they don't wait upon the Lord. And the time they get impatient and they start manipulating things in their life rather than waiting on the Lord. Just like Abraham, he didn't have Abraham first didn't have patience to wait on the Lord. The Lord said he was going to give him a son, so he went into his wife's handmaid, and they had a child, and they've been having trouble with that child, the PLO, ever since that time. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so he should have had patience and faith he had faith that the Lord was going to give him a son, but he just didn't receive it, that it would be from Sarah. And so he didn't wait upon the Lord. And so when we don't wait upon the Lord, well, then we start manipulating. We'll do it our way with our own reasoning. And that isn't the way to do it. Then Moses, he knew somehow that intuition that the Lord had called him to deliver Israel from the hands of Pharaoh in Egypt. And so he killed one of the slave masters and hit him in the sand, and it cost him to have to wait for 40 more years before the Lord delivered the people of Israel. And so waiting on the Lord is a very important thing, to be in the Spirit. And so the Lord gives us time during every day so where we can get away with him to meditate on his word and let the word become real in our lives. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Well, there's the written word, and there's also the spoken word, and then there's also the meditation of the word of the Lord, to meditate on the word of God. Now, when the Psalms, the 23rd Psalm tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," which meaning is, if you meditate on it, you'll see that what I'm going to tell you is absolutely the truth, that when the sheep eat grass, afterwards they lie down and they digest it. It goes down into their lower stomach, and then all of a sudden after it's there, they belch it back up. In other words, it's the same thing as our receiving the word of the Lord and then lying down and meditating on it, and then it comes back up into us and becomes a part of our Christian life, the life of meditating upon the Lord. And the Bible says that if we meditate on the Lord both day and night, that all of our ways will be prosperous. A lot of people are broke. They don't have a nickel to their name or a dime to their name. And some people are very prosperous with finances, but they're sick, and there's a lot of things that they don't have. So it really doesn't make any difference how much money we have in this life. Money cannot buy us salvation, and money cannot buy us happiness or joy. And if you're broke on the street, that isn't any good either, because you're constantly worried about your stomach and where you're going to, how you're going to make ends meet. And so a sheep, when the Lord makes it, he says, "My sheep know my voice," and they won't follow anybody else. Well, faith is simply following the instructions of the Word of God. A person that doesn't follow the instructions of the Word of God, they don't have faith. And so when we have faith, of the grain of a mustard seed, well, we can say to the mountain or the tree to be cast into the sea and planted there. Amen?
Amen.
And faith is simply, again, reading the Word of God, and then, or hearing it, and then meditating upon it. Take some time out of the day, an hour or 2 hours, or, get away. If you have to go into your closet, your room, some people go into their vehicle or into the bathroom someplace, so that they can allow the Lord to talk to them, because that's when the Lord talks to people, is when they meditate upon his word. And when we meditate upon his word is when we get direction. Some people are in such a hurry to please the Lord that they're just running helter-skelter, knocking things over, and trying to earn their salvation, when the salvation earned by works, their salvation was given to them as a free gift by faith And then after salvation is when we work. But we work when the Spirit works. Amen? Amen. So if we are not walking in the Spirit, well, then we're manipulating. Like there's a, you know, the Lord gave me, or my natural mind is a manipulating mind. I mean, I have made a lot of things happen in my life because of manipulation. If I can't get something this way, well, then I'm going to, I figure another way, or maybe I'll go into the governor's office and offer them something or something like this or that. But the Lord doesn't really want us to do that. He wants us to be led by His mind, by the Spirit. Amen? Yeah. And so how can we know which one? Now, if the Lord in meditation tells me go in to see the governor or go down and open up this particular thing, then I'll do it. Like He said, in meditation, He'll tell me, He told Sue to open a school. So she always meditated on the Lord, on the word of the Lord. And while a lot of times when I'm just shaving in the bathroom or taking a shower or something, that's when the Lord, and I'm thinking about the Lord, He'll come down and give me real clear direction of what to do that day and the things that He wants me to do and continue doing up into the future. And I don't know what I'd do if I didn't meditate as the Lord commands. Now, we've got the Word of God that tells us to do that. And so if you have faith, you're going to take time out every day and visit with the Lord. If you love the Lord, you're going to want to talk to Him, and you're going to want to hear from Him, because the intelligence of the Lord is unsurpassable, unsurmountable. It's the most precious commodity in this entire world to receive what the Lord has to say to you and to guide you in this world. And the Lord says to pray, in other words, without ceasing, or meditate without ceasing. And why? Because the Lord wants to visit with you. He wants to instruct you. He wants to give you the joy of the Lord. When you are perplexed because you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, you don't know where the next meal is coming from, or you don't know if you when you're going to be healed or if you're going to not be healed or whatever. It's just a real horrible thing. There's no joy in a life like that. And so when you meditate, you can find out all things, a lot more than you'll find out from your doctor. Amen?
Amen.
And a lot more than you'll find out from one of your peers that you seem to love to communicate with and get their advice. But the Lord has the supreme advice for us, and there is none other that can cause us to have complete 100% joy and happiness than the Lord Himself. And so this involves meditation. So we're going to, before we get into the 22nd chapter of Joshua, because these people are getting instruction from the Lord to go back home, because they had already won these battles and conquered the land and parts of it and have done their duty, and now the Lord told them to go back home. And what a relief to know that it's the Lord's will that's telling them to go home. And what a relief to know that the Lord tells you, like, we were wanting a church, and we went to a place on Crescent Heights, and it was a big mansion, and it was in a real nice district over there, and the man says, no, absolutely not, I'm not going to put a church in there. And Susie was meditating, and the Lord said, that's going to be the church. And so she paid no attention to what the owner said. He was a rich man that was raising horses out in Castaic area here in California, in the Los Angeles area. And he was so upset because he kept drilling for water and he kept hitting oil. And he needed the water for his horses, you know, but most people would be extremely happy if they had oil, but not him. He wanted water, and because for his horses and his cattle, he had cattle too. But finally, Susie kept saying, "This guy is definitely going to lease that property to us," because she was meditating, she was in prayer all the time, and she found out the secret things the Lord gave that to her. And you know, notice that in services always Susie would praise the Lord and thank the Lord and thank you, Jesus, and praise you, Jesus, because his spirit was there. And she let him know and made everybody let him know that they were happy that the Lord's spirit was there when everyone was congregating together. Amen. And the spirit and the services were just spirit filled, and people were not just sitting around staring like a bunch of ghouls or a bunch of zombies or something. It was like happiness and joy. And when the music came on, the music was loud, and I mean everybody was swaying back and forth and raising their hands and praising the Lord. And I was just in the service in the Los Angeles area here, and there was just like this funeral music. The piano player was just playing so soft, it sounded like you're going into a mausoleum where there is a corpse laying in there, and you know that you had to be very quiet and reverent. And the drummer was just like very just scraping the drums and so on and so forth, and I didn't want to embarrass him or anything at the time, but the Lord led me to bring a message in this regard. And I can tell that the people are hearing the word, and they're also they're reading the word, but they are most certainly not meditating on the word, and they're not following the word, because these are the things that you have to do. And he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And let the 150th Psalm that tells all the instruments to praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And the loud, on the loud, high-sounding cymbals. Amen.
Amen.
It's not a funeral. We're not the preachers of death, but we're the preachers of life. When we preach, when we talk, we're talking about life. The Holy Spirit is eternal life, not death. And so we need all of you to pitch in, and all of you that think you can play a musical instrument, you've got to get up there and start playing. Otherwise, you're not following the instructions of the Lord. And if you're in the Spirit meditating, the Lord can tell you, he's going to tell you, study a musical instrument. Get up there on that platform. Organize a choir, a quartet, a duet, something. Get up there and start partaking in the services, so that when the unsaved come in there, they'll see your joy, your happiness, and they'll see your victory in the Spirit. And when you meditate upon the Lord, it says, all your ways will be prosperous. Now, if you're not prosperous, if you're sick, if you're broke, if you don't have the proper clothing, it's probably because you don't ask. And if you don't ask, you're not going to receive. Ask that you might receive, the Bible says. I mean, because you've got to follow the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because no pastor has ever been designated to search diligently if you've got enough food in your stomach and so on. You're supposed to all come into the house of the Lord and eat, and to ask if you need clothing, and we'll provide everything for you, a place to live. If you're too cramped, too crowded, you're supposed to ask. You're not to be like a dead zombie and just say, well, I'm suffering for the cause of Jesus. This is your own presumptuous way. There's a straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, and some of you fall off into the ditch of presumption. You presume that you are really somebody in the Lord and that you're doing the right thing. But of course, that just shows me that if that's where you're at in the ditch, that you are not meditating on the word of the Lord, and you're not at all concerned about all the treasures that the Lord has in heaven, and that he gives you whatsoever you ask for. You say, well, I asked the Lord, but he says that you also have to ask the people that are in charge down here too, because we have to communicate one to another. Otherwise, we're not the Lord's jewels. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, if you think it's very smart or a godly to clam up. Well, no, clams do that. But you're supposed to be a child of the Lord. And if you're walking around with holes in your pants or your clothes, your shirts, torn up, tattered, they're not clean, disheveled, you're no testimony to the Lord on the streets or in the church or anywhere. And people just wrinkle up their nose at you, and you're no testimony because you are telling them that there's no prosperity in the house of the Lord, not even enough prosperity to keep you in clean clothes or clean facilities or anything like that. And that means that you're Antichrist. You're against what God says. The Lord tells you to let your needs be known. Amen?
Amen.
Tell the Lord what you need. And the Lord happens to be living in me. And so if you let me know that you need clothing or shoes or whatever, and you really need them and everything, they're yours. I mean, immediately. Okay? And if there's not enough food, if there's too much starchy food, or if there's not enough protein, if there's not enough vitamins or minerals, don't think you're being presumptuous to do what the Lord says and let your needs be known, all right? Or that you're not supposed to communicate one to another. Now, there's not one of us that's worth more than $1.97. Because if you smelt us down, say if you went into one of these places where they burn your body, there's a heap of dirt there that is worth, they say there's enough minerals in there and metal that amounts to it, today's price is about $1.97. So not speaking, bodily speaking, we're not worth any more than each other, okay? Unless we maybe be a little bit heavier than one another. But that's all you're worth. And that's, if some of you people are offended at having to do things the Lord's way, well then you haven't made yourself a heap of dirt or ashes, and you think of yourself to be more than you really are. That means that you've fallen into the ditch of presumption. You presume that this is the way to serve, that your way is the way to serve the Lord. Or that you've gotten into the other side of the road, into the ditch, which is the ditch of doing nothing, absolutely folding your arms and crossing your leg and just sitting there doing nothing at all when the Lord tells you to be on the move. And when the Lord tells you to be on the move, and he told me, get this literature out into the world, and that means everybody in the church, otherwise you're going to be destroyed. So we do have the direction from the Lord. And if you're so presumptuous that you think that that's a past tense thing, we're not retired. There's no such thing as retirement in the house of the Lord. The time that we lay our burdens down is when we get into the kingdom of heaven. On this side of eternity, we work. We don't rest, especially when we have direct instructions from the head of all of us, which is Christ. If you're in the military, you have to report for duty. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, some of you never report for duty. And if you don't report for duty, you're AWOL. You're out in the ditch someplace. Amen?
Amen.
If you have a commander-in-chief, and he's God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and you don't report for duty every day, then what are you? You're not a Christian, because the Lord's, the soldiers of the Lord, they report for duty every day, and they follow him, and another will they not follow, not even their own presumptuous self. Amen?
Amen.
They don't figure out what they're going to do themselves. They listen to the commander-in-chief of the entire army of God. And so, you know, the Lord says to praise him without ceasing and to come into the house, and it's a joyful thing and a happy thing to come into the house of the Lord and to praise and thank the Lord and play every musical instrument on unto him with praise and happiness and with enthusiasm and with zeal. Otherwise, he'll spit you out of his mouth, okay? So these are direct orders from the commander-in-chief, and if you're a soldier in the army of the Lord, you're going to report for active duty and stay on active duty until the time comes when the Lord takes you up into the kingdom of God. All right? Otherwise, you are not a Christian. You're off in the ditch. And if you're in the ditch, many people fall on the wayside, the Bible says, and they never make it into the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks of these end days, that there be a great falling away on the side of the road, which is presumption, or on the other side of the road is just do nothing, that you never report for duty as an enlisted person in the army of the Lord. And so we have been recruited, but then you've gone AWOL, absent without leave. The Lord has not given you leave. And so let's go first to Joshua, the first chapter, and read verse 8 first, because we want to get on to that quickly, and then we'll read 1 through probably 8 or 9. Read 8.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth.
Okay, what does that mean? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What is the law? The law is the Bible. The Bible is the law, because it tells us what happens when we do right, and it tells us what happens when we do wrong. Amen?
Yes.
So it's a law of life. When we walk in the Spirit, we're walking in the law of immortality, the law of life in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you're walking in the law, that's another law, of sin and death. So there's all kinds of laws. There's the law of sin and death, and there's the law of immortality, the law of eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if we're going to be walking in the Spirit of God, in the law of immortality, the law of life in Christ Jesus, we have to report for duty every day. And we have to be on duty all the day long. We have to watch for our souls. We have to defend our souls, because if our souls fall, then we're never going to win anybody's soul to the Lord. Okay? If we're not full of joy and laughter and happiness, the joy of the Lord. What is the joy of the Lord? It's our strength. If you're weak and feeble, and you've decided, maybe the pastor has told you to have to sit outside the church because you offend so many people inside the church, and you disgruntled because you're so presumptuous, you think that you should be able to go into the church and just offend people and to get out of order. It's not your place, especially if you're a baby Christian or if you're a presumptuous person in the ditch of presumption, to just take the place over. And so you've been asked to stay out of the church. And if you were of the Lord, you would be like a heap of ashes. Like, remember, we're only worth $1.97. Like, we're just like a bunch of heaps of dust. Amen?
Yeah.
Body-wise, that's it. So, bodily, none of us is any better than anyone else. I don't care if you're young or old or in middle age, whatever. You're no better than any other human being. You think you're beautiful or something, boil you down, render you down, and you're worth $1.97, okay? So you're just a heap of dust. And, you know, if you talk to me, you come to me and tell me the Lord told you to do this or the Lord told you to do that, and that you're going to teach me the Word of God, and you're just a baby Christian, or you give too much glory to your wife Susie or something like that, and you really shouldn't do that, and here you're just a baby Christian, you don't know from anything. The Bible says to give honor to those that deserve it. And all you are is just a puffed up young babe in the Lord that needs to be put in your place. Miss $1.97 heap of dust. That's all you're worth. Amen?
Amen.
Body-wise. And you're not to usurp the authority over an elder. Otherwise, you're in the ditch of presumption. If you've been told to stay out there, well, then as a heap of dust, you should not be concerned about whether it offends you or not. There shouldn't be any offense in you if you're getting instructions from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You just sit out there until the pastor can see that you're obedient and that you've humbled yourself and you've become humble, your spirit, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Just do what you're told. Amen?
Amen.
Because if the Lord is your shepherd, you should not want to be in the service if you've been told to stay out, and you shouldn't want to stay out if you've been told to be in. Amen?
Amen.
So just keep your place, boy or girl, whatever. Be a heap of dust. Think not to yourself to be anything other than what you are. We're all supposed to be one body. Amen?
Yes.
One spirit. And if your spirit is presumptuous and you're trying to take over the church or trying to preach the gospel to a pastor that's seasoned after 40 years, full of days and nights, and have gone through the fire, and you don't know what you're talking, you don't know the whole Bible yet, you know? Wait, Mr. or Miss $1.97, heap of dust, and let your spirit be cultivated in you by the Spirit of the Lord. You need to read more, and to hear more, and to meditate on the Word of the Lord so that you can be prosperous in all your ways, spiritually, physically, and monetarily. Physically, I mean, because some people have diseases, sickness, infirmities, and things like that. And if we do everything the Lord says, well, then there'll be no problem with your prosperity. So go ahead and let's read this verse 8 in Joshua chapter 1.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein.
Okay, so the word comes from the mouth of God. So you shouldn't be presumptuous and let it depart out of your mouth. You should be a receiver. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is the transmitter. Amen? Doesn't he transmit the word?
Yes.
So don't let the presumption come out of your mouth. Yours, we've been called to listen to the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
To meditate on him day and night. And then hear it again.
This book of the law shall not depart
out of... That's the whole Bible. Shall not leave your mouth. Nothing should come out of your mouth other than what the word of the Lord says, and to be saying it in the spirit, because a lot of times there's more than one spirit in the world. There's also the spirit of the devil. Amen.
Amen.
I've had women come up to me and say, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to get married to you. And I said, but I'm already married, you know, and you're listening to the spirit of the devil. Amen?
Yes.
So, or the Lord has not told me any such thing as that. I believe, you know, that if the Lord told somebody that they were to marry me and it was of the Lord, well, then I'd seek the Lord and say, well, is that true, Lord? But... the Lord never told me anything about it, so there's just somebody that's presumptuous, you know, and they just got that into their head, and that's what they want to do. So much for that, and then go ahead. So that's the law coming out of their mouth. It's departing out of their mouth. Okay, but we're to listen to what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord seems like he always talks to the leader, to Moses. He never really started telling the congregation all the different things that they're supposed to do. He talked to Moses or Joshua. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Not to one of the laity. Okay, then go ahead.
This book of the law.
Not to any other part of the laity. He just spoke to Moses or Joshua or once in a while Aaron. He'll rebuke Miriam or somebody, but not he won't give them any guidance or direction of what to do. So that's why the Lord puts somebody in charge, so that people don't get all confused as to who they should report to and who they should listen to. If you're, I see a lot of people, they're reporting one to another in the church, and that shows that you're off in the ditch of presumption. You really are not of the Lord at all whatsoever. People, truck drivers communicating back and forth to each other, and I don't know what they're doing. People come in, or the office, someone in the office, they'll give authority for somebody to do something, and they really haven't been given the authority from the leader, the one that God has called supernaturally out of the kingdom of heaven into this world. And they're off in the ditch of presumption. It seems like they want to be glorified by the some of the people that evidently too are in the ditch of presumption or do nothing, and they just like to report to each other so that they can make themselves look bigger than what God has made them to be. And so, you know, sister talking with sister, brothers talking with brothers, or they say, I thought. What would happen in the congregation of Moses if one of them says, I thought that we could start, that we didn't have to go over to the Red Sea. And they had a Dathan in that time. This is like a spirit of Dathan, you know, that says, let's all go back to Egypt. That's what you presumptuous people are doing, is you're just saying, we don't want to listen to Moses. What is with this Moses? We're just as, or Aaron, we're just as great as he are. We all under the cloud here. We all under the fire. We all have the Holy Spirit. We're all saved. The Lord delivered us all out of Egypt, and so we'll just take over wherever we want to. You people are off in the ditch of presumption, because there's no Bible that allows you to do such a thing as that. And donations will come in, finances, and the leader doesn't even know about it, and people will start doling it out to whoever they want to, and the church will never prosper like that. It'll never grow. God will never call a orchestra leaders or musicians or choir directors or assistant pastors or youth leaders into a mess like that. God is not mocked. He's not going to bless anything like that. And we had Bert again yesterday. He went and turned without showing me I told him we have to put a, you didn't give me a drawing of the sign where it had the border around it. So without asking, he just went ahead and turned it over without that border around it to a sign painter. And Bert these days is becoming more and more presumptuous than he's ever been, and I'm only saying this for your own good. Bert, you need to be a sacrifice acceptable unto the Lord. You need to become a pile of ashes, a pile of dust. You're only worth $1.97. Anything that you do, I could hire an unsaved person to do it, and they wouldn't think of giving something out without my approval, because it's not going to fly anyway. It has to have the border around it, and I've never approved the color. You've never showed me what it was. And there's so many people that do the same thing, and there's little, you might consider it Mickey Mouse things, but it just causes me a lot of trouble all during the day, because it's hard to lead an army into the kingdom of heaven when they're off in the ditch. You know, and it makes an awful lot of extra work when you don't listen to the Lord, you don't pay any attention to what he says. I think instead of just reading verse 8, let's go to verse 1 and read up to 8.
Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord.
See, Moses was the servant of the Lord. The rest of them were supposed to be followers, just like you people. Then what? God called me in the most supernatural way. There's never been anybody in the Bible that's been called in a more supernatural way than myself. Now, I'm not saying that my body is worth more than yours, but I know that God has called me to lead this church, all right? And not you, not your mama, and not your daddy. Not your brother, or not your sister. Okay, go ahead.
Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun.
Yeah, he didn't talk to the congregation, he talked to Joshua. Anyone in the congregation that would think that the God had talked to them when he was talking to Joshua, you're full of presumptuousness as the devil is. And you're off in the ditch, and you're not on the straight and narrow way into the kingdom of God. Okay, then what?
The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister.
Yeah. Joshua, I mean, with the emphasis, the Lord spoke unto Joshua. Okay? The one who was Moses' servant. He was subservient to Moses, as everyone is supposed to be unto the leader, the authority on earth. And God has made me the authority right here on this earth. Now, there's many teachers of the gospel, but there's only one that God has used to bring you into here. You were brought into this ministry for the purpose of listening to me. And if you're not, as I prove that I'm preaching the true word of God, that's what you're supposed to be listening to. And if the Lord tells me to put you out in a car because you're offending people or you're stating the wrong things, if the Lord tells me to pull you out of a pulpit, and the Lord does talk to me because I meditate on his word, okay, and you say, you go and ask a brother, can I get on the pulpit? Just like Gerard told Buster, can I go after you knew that I told you not? You're a very presumptuous young man, Gerard, and the Lord wants your spirit broken and for you to have a contrite and obedient heart, okay? One that honors the people that God has put in authority on this earth. You have not been called to any authority whatsoever. You're to follow Gerard. Okay? And then you'll be a good boy. Okay, then what?
The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them.
Okay, he said, well, why did he not speak to all this people? He says to Joshua, take all these people, this flock, over. And then why in the writing of Enoch does he state that there were two rams and a bunch of sheep? Because the ram was symbolic of when he saw in the future the crossing of the Red Sea and the deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt into the Promised Land, Enoch saw by vision two rams leading the children of Israel right through the Red Sea. So he said there was two rams, in other words, two fully developed, spiritually developed men, and the rest was just flock, okay? Now, flock, you have to listen not to one another, because it's like one sheep, and a sheep is the most ignorant thing in the world. I mean, they just are stupid, and so God calls rams to lead you. Now, if you're so presumptuous that you think you're on the same level as someone that God calls the leader, and never called you the leader, but God calls the leader, well, then you're off in the ditch of presumption. You're in the same boat with the devil. All right? So keep your place, boy and girl, you know, because you're only hurting yourself. A lot of these people that did that, like Ed Mick and a lot of other people in the church, they're gone now. And some of them, Ed Mick committed suicide. And Kathy Wiley was up in one of these balloons, and the air gave out, and she and three guys that she was probably committing, she was an adulteress, came crashing down, and they became like grease spots on the earth. And there's many others, like Ed Risha, he's dead. And Don Wiley, nobody heard of him anymore. What happened to all these people? Yet Tony Alamo is still on the move, amen, and in the groove, and he's moving and moving and developing and working for the Lord and meditating on him and preaching his word to this day. Ed Mick ran off, and he thought, one day a person brought in a receipt, and it said $20, and then somebody added a zero on it. It was Ed Mick. And so I called the dentist up and said, how much did Ed Mick have to pay for his dental work? And said $20. And I says, oh, on this receipt it says, I can see it's a written in other zero there. Well, what Ed did was took the $180 and stuck it in his pocket. And so when I confronted with him, he got very disgruntled. And that night, what he did while I was sleeping, and the watchman, night watchman, just figured he was such a high authority in the church that he could do just about anything. He took one of the church's trucks and packed it full of the furniture of the church, and took one of the horses that I had for the children to ride, and he got in this truck and went right through barbed wire fences and everything and over the hill, and off he went. And one day he called me when I had written the Pope's secrets and said, you should have never done that. That's going to cause everybody in the whole church to get killed. As though he were the prophet and I am, never been called by the Lord at all. Well, of course, that was right after Susie died. That's been over 22 years ago. And nobody got killed because of the Pope's secrets. Amen. But the whole world got informed, and now the whole world knows all about the Pope, amen, and all these homosexual ministers or priests of the Catholic institution, the cult, and they know all about it because it seemed like everybody else in the world didn't have the boldness before the Lord to be courageous and to preach what the Bible says about that cult. And he says, you've just never listened to anybody. Everybody says that you don't listen to anybody. Well, Susie caught Ed Mick committing adultery and fornication in our own house. She walked upstairs, and here he was busy fornicating, committing adultery with Kathy Wiley on a couch up in the sewing room up there. And she came down horrified. And I said, you have to kick him out. And he, ever since then, he got very uptight at me, because I wouldn't let him do in the church what the Lord commands us to not to let anyone in the church do. And so Susie said, well, maybe the Lord will... I says, we have to kick him out, okay? And that's all there is to it. Well, anyway, he went over the hill with all this, and then he calls me up and says, you never listen to anybody. So I said, should I listen to a thief and an adulterer? And he hung up the phone real fast. That seemed to cut him. Well, a few years after that, he put a gun to his head just like his father did, who was a police officer, and his little sister did. She put a gun to her head and blew her brains out. The suicide seemed to be in the family. The Bible says if you murder anyone, even yourself, your soul goes right to hell. Amen? I don't know whether we're even going to be able to get into chapter 22 of Joshua. We're going to do it anyway, no matter what, but I feel that what I'm saying now is very important. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so anyway, that's presumptuousness for you. And then Kathy wanted to tell me what to do and told me, you know, that I shouldn't be out with a salesperson that was selling us some musical instruments or something for something in the church, I can't remember. And she got really upset because I wouldn't follow her instructions. And Kathy was somebody that we found. Her testimony was that we found her on Hollywood Boulevard witnessing and testifying to her, and her testimony was that she lived in a reprobate family, and a family of about 10 or 15, they all get in a car and they travel down the road and the car would stop, and they were eating out of cans of food that didn't have any labels. So they'd open up in the morning and they didn't know whether they were eating canned peas or if it was canned yams or what, but they'd have to eat whatever was in the can. And that we haven't done here in this church. We know what we're going to eat before we eat it. Then she also said that she had been sleeping. She was living in adultery and fornication. And she was sleeping on toilet seats in gas stations because she didn't have enough money. Then all of a sudden she got saved, and the Lord started giving us that money, and we bought her clothing and made her look presentable. And she got her belly full of food and all the wrinkles out of her belly. And all of a sudden she started thinking she could run the church. And that, my God, you know, it's like you build a Frankenstein giant out of somebody that the Lord would call chaff, riffraff, somebody that you just picked up off the streets and you cleaned them up, got them filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden they're so presumptuous that she fell away. She fell on the, instead of wanting to be a follower, she got impatient and started wanting to manipulate the church rather than to let us wait on the Lord and let the Lord move as he wills. And so eventually she may have figured that out, or the Lord may have figured it out, but she started living a life. She left the church because she couldn't run it. And she even got to the point where she told Susie, either he goes or I do. And Susie told her, well, my God, of course you go, okay? If you put it to me that way, that's how presumptuous some people can get. Because they just don't like the way I comb my hair, or maybe the way I dress, or, you know, the way that my, the kind of glasses I wear, or something, or the way I talk, the sound of my voice, or something. You don't like it, and so therefore you think that you're more something than I am, and so you decide that you're puffed up in some false pride of yours, and that you're going to start running things, or you think that you're better, or that you feel that I'm not running things the right way. But the Lord has been blessing very much, and the more I get rid of the more the Lord gets rid of those kind of people in the church, the more we get blessed. All right? And so it shows that those people are nothing but a bunch of Dathans. Dathans. They're just like the bunch of people that the Lord opened the earth and swallowed them up, and they're not there anymore. They're not around. Amen?
Amen.
And so you got to listen to the authority on earth, and the authority is not somebody that learned to minister by polyparroting the things that the Lord has given the authority. Because that's just about what everybody is doing, is just polyparroting what the Lord gives me, and that's fine. But that doesn't make you a leader, even if you're able to be more eloquent than myself. I'm not saying that you can't be more eloquent, and that's fine. If you are, I pray that you are. I pray that you become so large that maybe I can enjoy life with you, you know, that you can bless me also. I'm not looking to hold anyone back, but on the other hand, I'm not looking to exalt any presumptuous person, all right? Still, God has put me in the leadership position. Doesn't make any difference whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, there's the door. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what a lot of people have the route that a lot of people have taken. They've taken the route of the door. And goodbye. Goodbye. Okay? Because you presumptuous people are not wanted or needed in this ministry. I'll wait on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I'll meditate on the Lord. I'll be a heap of ashes and just wait on the Lord. And when he says to move along, I'm moving along with what he already told me, to write the tracks, to preach the gospel, and so on and so forth. And when he told me to lay back on the tracks and just get this Bible taught, preach the gospel so that people can be edified and grow in the Lord. And so I'm giving you that which the Lord has laid on my heart today. All right? And I noticed he didn't lay it on your heart. And if he did, you should have done a tape on it and sent it over to me. Okay? But now that you know it, you feel that you knew it all the time. I've had people say, well, you know, the Lord was talking to me about that last week. And then why didn't you do a tape on it, for God's sake? for the sake of all of us here at the church, all of us slobs, okay? Why did you wait for me to do it? And anyone that tells you that they were hearing something from the Lord last week and didn't tell us about it, well, you're not a communicator. You're off in the ditch of presumption. You're not following the instructions of the Lord. No, I don't believe that the Lord talked to you about it last week or any other time. You just heard it today, and it thrilled you, and then all of a sudden you made it your own, that you could have done it all the time. You're a presumptuous person. You're off in the ditch of presumption. And then you're also on the other side, too, because you didn't do anything about it. Amen?
Amen.
You just sat there and grew roots into the other side of the road. But you must, my dear friend, be on the straight and narrow. So let's strive for that, for perfection. Amen?
Amen.
Not being somebody that you're not, or somebody that you want God to make you be, but God's not going to make you be anything that you want to be. He's going to make you what he wants to make you, okay? I'm sure that Dathan wanted to be Moses. Amen?
Amen.
But he wasn't. Moses was Moses. Amen?
Amen.
And Moses was Moses from the time he was born. God protected him all along. Amen?
Amen.
And God protected me all along ever since I was born. Ever since I was born. And I look back and I can see where the Lord's hand touched me all through my life and gave me a heart that apparently he likes and loves. And I love the Lord. And I might not have big monasteries. I just take whatever the Lord gives me. All right? Not interested in anything other than that. All right, then go ahead and read some more.
Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel.
So he's saying, all of you shouldn't have to be presumptuous, because he's given the land to them, all of us. Amen?
Amen.
So why are you trying to take over somebody's position as though you're not, the reward doesn't belong to you as well? Isn't that stupid? If I could get into the kingdom of heaven without taking all the flack that I've had to take, don't you think I'd just fall into line? Susie used to call me the biggest coward there was because I wouldn't get on the TV screen and preach the gospel. I left it all up to her, and she says, I'm sick. You've got to come in and preach, you know, because you are a fine preacher. You know what you're saying. You know the Bible. Now, you've got to please help me. And I'd say, Susie, you can say so much more than I. In just a few minutes. It takes me hours to say what you say in just like a few minutes. And so please just do what I tell you, and you have to preach the gospel. And she just did it because I told her to. And that was it. But still and all, that's what she wanted me to do. And now the Lord has forced me to do it myself, and no one else. All right? Not even Susie. Okay, then what else?
Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
So I gave it to you, and you can bring the rest of these congregations in here if they follow you. That's the provision. If they don't start getting wild and start taking off in another direction, if they follow you in, then I've given it to you to give to them. I didn't give it to them to give to you. You people cannot give me anything but obedience as the Lord wants you to. That's what the Lord wants you to give me. All right? And the Lord wants me to give this to you. He wants me to give you the Word of God, and that's what I do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Now you do what you're supposed to. All right?
Amen.
All right, now, if that makes sense to you, otherwise, there's the door.